Good morning. This is a service for either non-getting up early people, or lazy people, or people who just happen to like 11 o'clock. I'm thankful to be here. Whatever my reason for being here is, I am so grateful I can't tell you how thankful I am. And I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad that we have the opportunity to stream our service this morning and bring this service to people who could not be here for whatever reason. We're so grateful for life. And as we think about life, there's so many things that come our way
for which we need self-control, self-discipline. And as I think about that this morning, I'm confident I'm speaking to a large number of people who have things under control. Their self-discipline is not lacking in any way, and they just move forward in life in a way that they want to. I wish that were the case. But the reality is, every person in this room, no matter how mature you are still in need of some improvement in self-discipline. You may today be extremely disciplined in exercise. You may just go to the gym. You may do it on your own. I remember the other day I was thinking about running, thinking about it, please note. And I saw Evan coming down the road. You see him all over town, don't you? I was out working by my sidewalk on a little piece of grass I have out there. And Evan comes running by, and I saw him quite a ways up there, and I saw him, and when he got about up to me, I jumped up on the sidewalk, and I started running with him. I told him, I said, I'm not going but right here, but I just wanted to be able to tell people that one day I ran with Evan. And so I ran with Evan, but let me tell you this. My self-discipline is nowhere significant enough to run with him the way he runs. Mile after mile after mile. Some of you may be that way, but you may not be as disciplined in some other area. I'm not proud of what I'm about to tell you, but when I played sports in school, I was disciplined, self-disciplined. If the coach says, go do this, I went and did that pretty much exactly the way the coach did. If we were running, I tried to be first. If we were doing whatever, I wanted to win. I tried to do whatever was necessary to win. I was really disciplined. But when it came to getting up and going to class on Monday morning at 8 in my freshman year at Freed Hardeman, I was not quite as disciplined as I should have been. So we can be really strongly disciplined in one area, but really lacking in other areas of our lives. And so we need work with regard to self-discipline. This morning, I hope to encourage you to say no to yourselves where we should. Obviously, there are things we need to say yes to. If you're going to be self-disciplined, you got to say, yes, I've got to get up and go. I've got to do this. So we're not giving a blanket statement. We're talking about things for which you should discipline yourself to say no to and say yes to those things that need to be done. That's hard work. It doesn't matter what your age is. And so as we think about what is going on here, if you could move that first slide for me, please. Say no to temptation. It's all around us, everywhere. Every one of us has problems with temptation, and we need to discipline ourselves to say no to ourselves. We're tempted by different things. What tempts you may not be tempting to me at all. You see, I wasn't tempted at all to continue to run with Evan the other day. I just meant to take 4 or 5 steps with him. I was not tempted at all. And there are a lot of things like that in life. Some of them, I am grateful that there is no temptation to me. But temptation is all around us, and we have to learn to say no to ourselves and yes to those things for which we are in need of not doing. Now, as we take a look at this concept here, Paul, can you imagine the Apostle Paul, who headed to Damascus from Jerusalem with letters to put men and women in prison for wanting to serve Jesus Christ, the one to whom Jesus appeared on the road to Damascus, who spoke to him, who talked to him, who selected him to go and be a special teacher to Gentile people. This is the same man that got to see by a miraculous way all the things that every apostle of Christ got to see. This is the one who could bestow miracles upon people and bestow upon people the opportunity to do miracles, as he was able to pass on the ability to do spiritual gifts. This is the same Paul that said, I must discipline myself. I discipline my body and keep it under control. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul had to, at this point in his life, in writing to the Corinthians, how much work Roy Sharp has to do in discipline, in watching myself, in controlling my thinking and my attitude and my actions. So temptation is all around me. So as we think about this, I want to share with you a couple of illustrations here. During his term as president of the United States, this president grew somewhat overweight. And one day his wife challenged him with the blunt assertion, you can't run this country if you can't run yourself. The note said, respecting his wife's decision, he lost 23 pounds. That was President Lyndon B. Johnson. We would have to applaud him for his self-discipline, the control of his weight at this point in his life. And many of you ladies would like for your husbands maybe to respond to some observations that you have in a similar fashion with equal self-discipline. Another statement by a president, this one said, with all the power that a president has, the most important thing to bear in mind is this: you must not give power to a man unless, above everything else, he has character. Character is the most important qualification the president of the United States can have. This quote was by Richard Nixon in 1964, 10 years before he resigned the presidency to avoid being impeached over the shameful Watergate scandal. He had the knowledge. He knew what he should be doing. He understood everything that you and I would understand about that first statement, but he did not have the self-control and discipline to follow through. A third president said, undeniably, character does count for our nation. And this week we celebrate the importance of character in our individual lives. Core ethical values of trustworthiness, fairness, responsibility, caring, respect, and citizenship form the foundation of our democracy, our economy, and our society. This was a statement made by Bill Clinton in a speech during National Character Week, just 2 weeks before the scandalous information came out about his affair with Monica Lewinsky. When we start thinking about these men in these prominent places, we want to say, wow, what are we thinking? What were we thinking when America put them in that office? But if we're wanting to know why they would make decisions the way that they do, all we have to do is look in the mirror. Each one of us makes choices that are poor. Each one of us knows better than to do a number of things that we do in our lives. But we lack at the moment self-discipline and self-control to do that which we know we ought to do. If you would have asked Bill Clinton, as President of the United States, or as a man, should you treat your wife, should you do these things that you've done, he would say no, would he? I believe he would. Wouldn't you think that Richard Nixon knew better than to go in the direction that he went with Watergate? I believe he would. Just like Roy Sharp knows better than to go in some of the directions that he goes sometimes. Self-control, self-discipline is a lifetime of work. I don't know what your problems are. I know some of mine. I probably don't understand even all of my problems with regard to lack of self-control, and I wish I did. I wish I were big enough and good enough to be able to stand here today and tell you I've done it. I've overcome every circumstance that I've ever faced with self-control. I've got it conquered. I'm who I need to be. I'm what I need to be. But you would know that I would be dishonest. It just isn't so. I don't know what is bothering you, but take a look at this list. temper, lack of prayer, lack of study, lack of time for important things, overeating, alcohol, other drug abuse, smoking, talking too much, constantly being late, being critical and judgmental, overspending, and just general self-indulgence. If you are not represented on that board by some point of lack of self-control in your life, there's something in your life that could go on that board, I guarantee you. I'm not smart enough to know everybody. I just understand human nature. And God teaches us that we all lack self-control and that we need to be better controlled. And so Paul gives us an example. We heard it read just a little bit ago from 1 Corinthians 9 as we look at all that is said there. Don't you know, Paul said, that everybody, all people that run in a race, they run, but only one receives the prize. Have you ever seen a picture of the start of the Boston Marathon, for example? There are hundreds of people lined up. They are packed so much it's unthinkable, and they take off. But only one person is going to win each category. There are different categories. There are categories for men, for women, for old people, I guess for young people. I don't know all the categories. But if you're in one of those categories, there are a bunch of you running, and only one of you is going to receive the prize. And Paul says every athlete exercises self-control. He says in all things. Well, that just isn't true. But it is a statement of the whole to represent the part. Athletes are going to have to discipline themselves to work. When I was coaching a little bit, several years ago, if I sent baseball players, for example, out to the outfield to run some sprints, and I would give them a number of sprints to run, 10, for example, and I would say, run at least 75 yards across there. Run hard. 10 sprints of about 75 yards. If I were to go to the dugout, which I didn't do very often, but if I would go to the dugout and I counted the number of sprints, invariably there would be one or two guys on the team that wouldn't run 10. Invariably there would be one or two guys that wouldn't run the full 75 yards. Or invariably there would be some guys that would dog it. They would just try, you know, they would act like they were so tired they couldn't go. You see, athletes not exercising self-control and self-discipline in all things every time, but that's God's goal for you and for me, to exercise self-control in all things. Athletes want to win a prize. They want to win a championship. They want to win a trophy. But you and I, in this race that we're in, this Christian race, we want something that's eternal in nature. And Paul says, when I start thinking about that, I don't run aimlessly. Jan, sometimes when I get ready to go take a walk, she'll say, where are you going? I say, I don't know today. I don't know where I'm going. I'm not heading in a specific direction. Now, some days I do, and very often I walk the same track. But I mean, I go down this way, I go this way, I go downtown, I go around. I go different places. I'm sort of aimless in the direction that I go, but my purpose is walking. So Paul said, I do not run aimlessly, and even though you might see me in one place today and another place tomorrow, my aim is always the prize of what walking does for you. And I'm going to keep on working at that. But I have to discipline my body in order to do what I have to do. Paul said, I don't run aimlessly. It's not as though I'm punching the air and not getting anything done. I'm not just beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control so that after preaching, I myself should not be disqualified. Probably every adult in this room could name one or more preachers who have disqualified themselves because of their behavior. They preach a great message, but their lives do not fit what they preach, and when that is found out, they are disqualified from preaching. No one wants to listen to a person who preaches this and does that, and who is hypocritical about the way they live life. they are not disciplining themselves the way that they should. So Paul gives us a great illustration here of an athlete who works hard, who disciplines, who stays on course, who does what they need to do to win. That's what God wants from each one of us. And so there's a purpose. Self-discipline, self-control requires a purpose. Verse 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Therefore, you run in such a way, so run, that you may obtain it." We obtain the prize when we run according to the rules. We run in the path that is set out for us. We can't cut across the track. If the path goes this way, we can't go that way because we know it's coming back around. It'll be shorter and easier. We run in such a way that we may obtain the prize. That takes discipline. And Paul said, "I am ready to discipline my body to do that." And then Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus in chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. "Look carefully. You take note. You watch what you're doing when you live life, how you walk. Every day, you walk not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Every day, when you get up to go to school, when you get up to go to work, when you get up to stay at home, whatever it is that you're going to do today, whatever is the Lord's will, that must be our purpose, that must be our aim in this life. In every way, no matter how much I might think of my athletic ability or my academic ability or my looks or my intelligence or my personality, whatever it is we want to talk about with regard to ourselves, we must keep all of that in control, thinking and walking according to the will of God every day. That's our purpose. That ought to be our purpose, no matter where we're going or what we are doing. And that takes self-discipline. But purpose requires us to control ourselves. It's easy to start something. It's hard to keep it up. It's easy to start a diet. That's no trouble at all. I heard a man say one time, and you've heard it many times probably yourselves, a guy said, "I don't understand why these people can't quit smoking. It was easy for me." He said, "I've done it 100 times. Starting something is easy. Finishing it is not easy. And so verse 25, Paul tells us that every athlete exercises self-control in all things. We keep our body, we keep our life under control by the will of God. And that purpose of walking every day in the will of God requires us to discipline ourselves, control ourselves every day according to the will of God. Several years ago, I was sitting at my desk in my office over at the university, and I looked at my wall. Had a lot of things on the wall. I thought, that's ridiculous. There's just too much stuff up there. So I called Meg. Meg came up with me, and we started taking things off the wall, and we would put them in boxes. I filled up 2 pretty good-sized cardboard boxes with what I came to believe was junk. But when I received it, oh, look at me. I had some trophies in that office. I had some plaques in that office. There were some really neat things said. There were some honors and awards. And you know what? After many years, they didn't mean very much to me at all. Because I took those 2 boxes home. We put them in the garage. And they stayed in the garage for some years. And one day, Jan and I were cleaning out the garage. And I said, "You know what? I haven't looked at these things in years. I put them on the truck, I took them to the dump, and put them in the receptacle. I haven't missed one of them. My life has not gone downhill at all because I didn't have those things on my wall. When I came to clean out my office at retirement, You know what? Some of the same thing has happened. I'm still sitting with some of those things now in boxes after 2 years, and they're collecting dust, and guess what? They don't mean hardly anything to me. My point is, I don't care what award you get in this world, there's going to come a time when it is absolutely meaningless. And the only thing that's going to matter to you is that eternal reward. So our purpose in the will of God is to receive that eternal reward that Paul talks about in verse 25. Those athletes in this world, they run to receive a prize. Should they discipline themselves and work hard to win? Absolutely. If you're going to do something, do it well and do it right. But those things are going to perish and they are not going to last. But what God offers us is something that is eternal. So we have to have a purpose. And that requires self-control. And that purpose for you and me as God's children must be eternal in nature. It's okay to win in sporting events. It's okay to win in academic events. It's okay to win in artistic events. All of those things are nice. But in the long run, not one of them really, really matters as far as a prize. So, how do we respond to God's call to self-control? After some days, Felix came to Caesarea. Paul was there, imprisoned. And his wife, Drusilla, came with him, and they called Paul. Now listen to this. They wanted to hear what Paul had to say about Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. They called and asked him about that. They heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And look at what he reasoned with them about. This may be Paul's only chance to really confront Felix personally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he reasoned with him about righteousness, that which is right. Remember when Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized of him, John said, wait a minute, I know you and I know me. I need to be baptized of you. Jesus said, it will fulfill all righteousness. It is the right thing to do for you to baptize me. When we become people of God, we're going to listen to, think about, and practice the right thing to do. And it takes the second thing that Paul spoke to Felix about, and that is self-control. You can see by this, Felix wanted some money. He wanted Paul to pay him to get out of the mess he was in. And he was wanting something different. He couldn't do what he knew he needed to do. He wasn't disciplined enough. Most of those rulers were very self-indulgent, self-focused people, and they would not do what they could do. So Paul reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, but that third thing was the coming judgment. Felix was alarmed. It concerned him when he heard about that which is right, about how you have to control yourself to do that which is right, and then one day you're going to face judgment. Felix said, you go on. When it's convenient, I'll call you. How do we respond? This morning, you have the opportunity, if you've never been baptized into Christ, and you know you should, you've been taught to repent of your sins and confess Christ's name before men and be buried with him in baptism. You have the opportunity to do that today. And that's going to call for you to say no to yourself and whatever has been preventing you from doing that and say yes to what you need to do. If you're a child of God and you've become unfaithful, it's time to say no to yourself and whatever it is that led you away from God and bring you back into faithfulness to God by doing that which you need to do. Don't wait for a convenient opportunity. If that's what you're waiting on, it won't come. Because every time you think about it, every time you start deciding to do it, it requires self-discipline. So today, if you need to respond, we're going to have elders in the classroom off the commons. We want you to respond. If you're listening online, we want you to respond. Contact one of our elders. Contact one of our ministers. And let us help you. Do what you need to do and say no to yourself if you need to respond as we stand.